So today the title of the sermon is Drag Your Feet. Drag Your Feet. Remember growing up, your mama always told you don't drag your feet. Quit dragging your feet. And then when you get up there about 90, you start dragging your feet again. There are times in your relationships that you don't need to run. You don't need to jog. You don't need to even walk. And what I'm going to encourage you to do instead is to drag your feet. You see, we don't always need you to look and be your best in order for us to love you, in order for us to have a relationship with you. We don't need you to come in pretending that you're all that. We just need you to be you. We need you to drag your feet. What do you mean, John? Well, I'll get to it. You see, sometimes we just need you to show us that you're just one of us. One of the struggles that millionaires and billionaires have is finding a church that they can go to, because the churches always want to latch on and tell them what their new project is and hope that they'll fund it, you know. And they can't just go in and just be a regular guy. Well, at this church, we're asking you to just come in and be a regular guy. That's what we want. Why? Because that's what Jesus wants. He wants you to drag your feet. Some like to always look like they're a great conqueror. I'm walking in and I'm powerful. My presence just matters. Or a great orator, or a great amazing businessman or woman. And we just want you to come in and just be yourself. Drag your feet. Do you remember back when the world shut down during the virus? Do y'all remember that? I know you don't want to think about it. But stories were circulating about how marriages were crumbling during that period of time, and families were just falling apart. And honestly, it changed the lives of so many people and their family makeup. And months of isolation gave opportunity for people to be so vulnerable at home, husbands and wives to truly get to know one another, and families to be around each other all the time and have to put up with each other all the time. And differences became nuances, and fighting and even in some cases domestic violence ensued. And there was no relief from each other. It was as though suddenly we had this cumulative test take place in our families to see whether or not we had been doing the job to be relating to each other all along the way. And some people for all these years, 20 and 25 years, 30 years that they'd been married and together, suddenly they couldn't live with each other anymore because they were living with each other too much. One lady I heard about, she charged her husband with getting the children all riled up at night, and it was driving her crazy. And here's a quote they gave us. "He's the troublemaker in the house. I don't want to endure anymore." And she divorced him. Getting the kids all riled up. One divorce lawyer said that infidelity used to be the number one reason that he saw divorce happening and that the people came to him. But he says that's not the case anymore. And I'll quote him here. "The more time they spent together, the more they hate each other." What happened? Their pride was being exposed, and everybody's own agendas was not unified. There was not unity in the family. There was not unity in the marriage. Everybody had just been doing their own thing, and I've got this job, and I'm powerful and rich, or whatever this is. You guys know what I'm saying. Everybody had their own job, their own way of doing things, and then suddenly they're stuck at home, and they've got to be with each other, and all of those titles and things didn't matter anymore. What happened? Pride was exposed. So I want to challenge you today to live in your relationships like Jesus did, and that is to drag your feet. What do you mean, John? I don't understand. What do you mean, drag your feet? So instead of dragging your feet like a little kid and just walking along shuffling, or a 95-year-old, drag your feet like Jesus did. Palm Sunday is the day we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and hundreds of people had gathered. They had heard that he was coming, and they were like, all right, we want to make him our king. We want to inspire him to rise up and be great for us. He can speak. He can do miracles. We will be the most powerful nation in the world if Jesus is our king. And they had seen him even raise people from the dead. He was a powerful, powerful person. So they started creating this makeshift parade for Jesus to come into Jerusalem, and they knew that he was the Messiah. They believed, many of them did, but more than that, they just wanted him to be the king. That's what they thought the Messiah was coming to be. And so they started breaking palm branches. They prepared for this majestic entrance for their king. And before entering Jerusalem, Jesus told two of his disciples, he said, hey guys, go down to the nearby village, and I want you to find there's a donkey, a young donkey, not a big full-grown donkey. Look at it. It's a young donkey. I want you to go find this young, everybody say young donkey. That's a big, big thing, all right? And it's a colt, and he's tethered there, and he's never been ridden before because he's young. No one else has done this on this donkey before. And he gave them specific instructions. If someone was to ask them what in the world they're doing, he told them that you need to tell them the Lord needs it. So they go there, and someone asked them. It wasn't just someone. It was the owner of the young donkey. They were like, hey, what are you doing on their donkey? Well, that's my donkey. Where are you taking my donkey? And like, remember the part in Star Wars where they're like, you know, everything's cool, everything's fine, and they use the Force. Well, they use the Force, you know. They said, the Lord needs it. And it worked. They were like, okay, go ahead. Take the donkey. I don't need the donkey. I don't know why I just said that, but I just said it. It must have been the Force. So they took the donkey. And bringing it to Jesus, they threw their coats on it, and they helped Jesus get on. They're like, all right, hop on, Jesus. This is really interesting, Jesus. What are we doing here? You can imagine what these guys are thinking, this little donkey. And Jesus gets on. And look what it says. This is a prophecy hundreds of years before Jesus did this. Hundreds of years before Jesus did this. This is a prophecy in Zechariah. Shout and cheer, daughter Zion. Raise the roof, daughter Jerusalem. Your king is coming, a good king who makes all things right, a humble king riding on a donkey, a mere colt of a donkey, a little donkey. A good king, a humble king, riding on a donkey. Now imagine a superstar riding up to a place where they're going to be singing that night in a beat up old PT Cruiser. Taylor Swift, here she comes in a beat up old PT Cruiser or an old Volkswagen, you know. Elvis Presley, wouldn't that have been awesome? The king is leaving the building. Just, that's the picture of this. Columbo, anybody remember Columbo? His car. And Jesus could hear the people shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So they're singing, they're excited. The guy that they're going to crown as king, he's the Messiah. But they don't understand the Messiah isn't coming to set up his kingdom on this earth. And they're worshiping him because they want that. And as he gets closer, you can imagine the people's expectations. Oh, he's getting close. He's getting close. He's coming. He's coming. And you can imagine they're so excited. Their anticipation to see Jesus come in. We're going to coronate him as the king. And the King of Kings is coming in. And there he is. Dragging his feet on a little donkey. And he's dragging his feet. Jesus was communicating something. He's like, this is not what I'm here for. You wanted somebody to come riding in on some big, beautiful white stallion and say, let's go to war and we'll be the most powerful nation in the world. No. Jesus. This is hysterical. It is absolutely hysterical. He's, and he's dragging his feet. And the people are like, Hosanna! Hosanna! Are we sure about this? This doesn't seem right. Humility lays down the power struggle. And good relationships in our lives, good relationships are those that the people have decided to work together for solutions, not fight over who's in charge, but just say, all right, let's be together. There never has been and never will be a more powerful person than Jesus to walk this planet. And instead of riding in on some big, beautiful, giant Clydesdale, Jesus rides in on a donkey and he's dragging his feet and he's saying, I'm here to love, I'm here to serve, I'm not here to be the king that you think I should be. Jesus wasn't looking for some kind of dictatorial power. He was looking for relationship with people. Worship of Jesus is great, but worship without friendship means absolutely nothing to him. But I worshiped you all my life. I sang all the songs and I said, oh, you're so powerful and you're so mighty and you're so wonderful, Jesus. But he's like, okay, but you missed the whole point. I want a relationship with you. I want you to know me and accept me for who I am and what I like and don't like. He leads by being the greatest servant of all. That's Jesus. And so he comes running, riding in, dragging his feet. And if your vision of a successful home or a successful marriage or a successful family or even a successful business, if your vision of successful relationships in your life is doing things and having everybody doing things your way, you're missing the mark. You're missing the point. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. I remember when my father retired from Chrysler. Mom remembers this very well. Because he came home, and he stayed home, and the first day he went into the kitchen, and he was like, is this the way you've been loading the dishwasher all these years? You're loading the dishwasher wrong. She was like, he went downstairs where the washer and dryer were, and he was like, all right, here's how to load a washer. He found out pretty quickly he needed to start dragging his feet if he was going to remain in this marriage. And so mom was just like, all right, you do it. Smart lady. Then he realized it was, she was doing it right, probably, right? I knew a couple that when they first got married, every Saturday when they got up, she became a cleaning Nazi. Every Saturday, it was time to clean the house, and her husband just wanted to hang out and go do something, even go to the flea market if I have to. I just don't want to stay home and clean the house, and just do something. Go out and detail the car or whatever I could possibly do. Some of you love the flea market, but but she wanted to clean, and it was Saturday, and she needed to clean, and this went on for a few years, and he played clean house with her every Saturday. He's wiping off the blinds and taking care of everything, and he was like, man, you know, this is frustrating. We got church tomorrow. This is our only day to get out and go and do stuff. So she was like, this is Saturday, and he said, why are we doing this? Because it's Saturday. Okay, but why? She said, well, growing up, my parents always cleaned on Saturday, and I just don't feel right, I guess, if I'm not cleaning the house on Saturday. Really? Let's try to go get something to eat on this Saturday, you know? And eventually he broke her from it. He helped her get free from it, but then she quit cleaning anything, so. No. Are people in your life really enjoying you being in their life? Are you able to relax? Are you able to drag your feet? You can post smiling selfies all you want to show us that you've got a happy marriage and a happy family. But are you able to just relax and enjoy the family that God has given you, the husband or wife that God has given you? Now think about how Jesus could have come. He could have come demanding his own way, demanding people do things his way. But instead, he came and just relaxed, had friends, sat around the campfire, and taught people the right way. Not because it was his way, but because it was the right way. And how many of you know his way is the right way? Drag your feet. And for young parents, I hear people say this all the time, and maybe you've even said it about your parents. My parents are way better grandparents than they were parents. How many of you have ever heard someone say that? And for young parents, let me challenge you. You go home and be like a grandparent at some level. But, yeah, you got to crack the whip on your kids, so don't get me wrong on that. Grandparents, we don't have to do that. Isn't that great? And I don't have to change diapers, so you got to do that still, all right? But still, there's something that's to be said about that. Something about being a parent that is able to just relax and enjoy their children's childhood. It matters. Jesus riding into the town on a donkey, it's one of the most amazing things that happened in the history of this world, this universe. He's dragging his feet. He wasn't coming to rule. He was coming to relate. He wasn't coming to rule. He was coming to relate. Jesus wasn't coming to look all powerful. In fact, he was so powerful that he could just drag his feet on a donkey and still conquer the world. Imagine if he had used his power to create some crystal palace, create his own army, and gear up and conquer the world. Imagine, he could have done that easily. He could have conquered the universe in that way. But instead, he used his power to what? What did he use his power to do for people? Have relationship with them. He used his power to heal people, to raise the dead, to help people. I mean, think about that. He could have used his power to set up this huge military and this huge kingdom, but instead he came and he healed people. And he touched their lives and he encouraged them and he blessed them. He could have used his power and authority for so many other things, but instead he helped people with their problems. And don't you know that's what you can do with your power, with your life, your authority? You can go home and you can help people fix things. You can help around the house. You can help your kid fix the car or go buy a car. You can help your kid fix their computer. You can help repair a door lock for your child that is keeping them from having privacy. You can help your spouse go wash their car. Whatever you need to do to just say, you know what, I'm here and I'm dragging my feet and I'm going to make your life better. I'm going to help you to enjoy your life a little bit more. Instead of riding in as a dictator in your home, you can drag your feet and say, you know what, I'm here to serve, I'm here to love, I'm here to be the answer to your problem if you'll let me. That's huge. Be intimately close with your spouse. That's dragging your feet and saying, I'm here to love you. Jesus talked about doing these things all the time, guys. He talked about these things. You ever heard the phrase, go the extra mile? That was Jesus. Go the extra mile, drag your feet. You ever heard the phrase, give them the shirt off your back? That was Jesus. If they take your coat, give them your shirt too. That's Jesus. You ever heard the phrase, turn the other cheek? That was Jesus. They slap you, give them the other cheek. That was Jesus. If Jesus said this is a relationship tip for us for dealing with your enemies, and these were enemies that Jesus was talking about dealing with. He said, this is how you need to treat your enemies. And these are things he was saying for us to do to the people that hurt us or do something to us. And if he says to do that for those people, I don't know about you, but a lot of people won't even go the first mile with their husband, wife, or kids. And yet Jesus says, go the extra mile with a person that doesn't even like you. Turn the other cheek. Jesus said, this is how we need to live our lives. Drag your feet. You're here to serve. You're here to enjoy other people's presence when you can. If Jesus said this in a relationship tip for us with our dealing with our enemies, how much more should we be forbearing and giving with our spouse and with our children? How much more should we be forbearing with each other in their church? You see, Jesus didn't come to be a political leader. James David, would you come? To free them from the Romans or from Israel, to be a ruling nation of the world. Jesus came to have relationship. He was dragging his feet as he came into Jerusalem. You see, dragging his feet was his mission. That means it's your mission. If it was his mission, it's your mission. Teaching us how to have relationships with each other, that was his mission. That means it's your mission. Let's teach each other how to have relationships with each other. Saving us from fighting for our own survival, that was Jesus' mission. He was saying, you don't have to fight for your own survival anymore. Relax. I got it covered. Yeah, but this is wrong. This isn't being done. These people are doing this and that. And I don't understand. They're taking this and that. What's going on with our politics and what's going on in our world? Jesus was saying, look, if I came and I didn't get involved in politics in a way that, now listen, I'm telling you, vote. I'm not telling you to not vote. I want you to vote. You need to vote. I vote. We all in this? But if there was one moment in history that Jesus really should have gotten involved in politics, was when John the Baptist's head was cut off from a politician, his cousin. Jesus could have risen up and been like, all right, it's time. I'm going to go and deal with these people. But he had another mission. And it's the same mission you and I have. Have you embraced that? Because you're going to be sorely, sorely disappointed with any other mission. Jesus entered the Passion Week dragging his feet. And what was he doing? He was declaring, I am so big. I am so powerful, I am so great, and this mission is so great that I don't need you to make me king. He could afford to humbly ride in on a little colt, a little donkey, knowing that at this very next Sunday, this very next week, he would be raised from the dead, and he would be King of Kings. And he would be Lord of Lords, not because people are waving branches at him, but because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's your Jesus. And he says, I give you the same mission that I have, and it was worth dying for. You need to begin believing in God's plan and God's purpose in your life so much that it doesn't matter who lifts you up or who pushes you down. God's got me. Trust him. So confident in your future with God that your present struggles aren't anything that's going to change your life. You're just like, all right, but God's got this. And I trust him. I trust trust Him with my security. I trust Him with my home. I trust Him with my finances. I trust Him with every area of my life. And if it all looks like it's going to be messed up, I trust Him. I trust Him with what people think about me, my significance. Okay, everybody thinks I look stupid riding in on a donkey, dragging my feet. All right, I don't care. He's my God. I don't need to be big and powerful. I just need to be a lover of God and a lover of people. My intimate relationships, He says, trust me with it. He said, I have people that you really want to meet here with me for eternity. And some of them you know. And if everybody on this earth nails you to a cross, if everybody begins laughing at you, if everybody pushes you away, it's okay. Trust me. I have prepared a place for you, and I want you to come and be with me. But you have to accept me and my mission and who I am. It's all about what Jesus did for us. And while everyone else is rummaging and scrounging for survival, you can ride in, dragging your feet, just here to serve. Bake a cake. Do what you can to help somebody else. Would you bow your heads? You see, what we're talking about today, there's another word for it. It's called humility. And there's so much peace and happiness in humility. To just be able to relax, enjoy the moment. When you walk into a room, to look and see how you can blend in and just enjoy the moment. If people are enjoying the moment, just to walk in and say, wow, where can I fit? That's what Jesus did. It's how He lived His life. It's what He showed us. And if there was anybody that could have been all-powerful, earth-shaking every time He walked in the room, that was Jesus. But He came in to relate with people. Are you able to do that in your marriage? Are you doing that with your kids? Do they know you love them? Does your spouse know you love them? You love her? Or do you have to have things your way? It's time to lay it down. Relax. Drag your feet. Lord Jesus, help us in our relationships today. Help us, oh God, to learn from you, Lord Jesus. If you could do it, the creator of the universe, then certainly we can. It's not about personality, it's about choice. And today we choose to emulate you, Lord Jesus. We want to be imagers of you. That's what we were created for, to image you. And so, God, today we commit ourselves to learn your way. Father, I pray for peace right now in our homes. I pray for success in our relationships. God, that we'd be able to relax and do what we've been called to do by you, and that is to love you and love others. Thank you. Now empower us, oh God, and give us wisdom. Help us to go home and make a difference in our family. And every little thing that we can do in our church family to help, just to encourage, to bless. We commit ourselves to that. Thank you, Father, for helping us to be the light in this world this week. To go into the workplace, school. Let others see us doing something that makes their lives better. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.